Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Saturday, November 27th, and I am reading from the New International Version. Today we will wrap up the book of Acts, but it kind of ends on a cliffhanger. We don't know what happens with Paul truly in the end. And then we'll read Psalm 28, and then we'll wrap up the book of Nehemiah, which honestly ends as a little bit of a downer. The people are back in Israel. They are back in the land of promise after the exile. But for many of them, their spiritual state seems unchanged from the time before the exile. They are still doing things that are transgressing God's word. So more about that when we get to the book of Nehemiah. Let's begin with Acts chapter 28. Once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and cold. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood and, as he put it on the fire, a viper, driven out by the heat, fastened itself to his hand. When the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other, "This man must be a murderer, for though he escaped from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live." But Paul shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. The people expected him to swell up or suddenly fall dead. But after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. There was an estate nearby that belonged to Publius, the chief official of the island. He welcomed us to his home and for 3 days entertained us hospitably. His father was sick in bed, suffering from fever and dysentery. Paul went in to see him and after prayer placed his hands on him and healed him. When this had happened, the rest of the sick on the island came and were cured. They honored us in many ways, and when we were ready to sail, they furnished us with the supplies we needed. After 3 months, we put out to sea in a ship that had wintered in the island. It was an Alexandrian ship with a figurehead of the twin gods, Castor and Pollux. We put in at Syracuse and stayed there 3 days. From there, we set sail and arrived at Rhegium. The next day, the south wind came up, and on the following day, we reached Puteoli. There we found some brothers who invited us to spend a week with them, and so we came to Rome. The brothers there had heard that we were coming, and they traveled as far as the Forum of Appius and the three taverns to meet us. At the sight of these men, Paul thanked God and was encouraged. When we got to Rome, Paul was allowed to live by himself, with a soldier to guard him. 3 days later, he called together the leaders of the Jews. When they had assembled, Paul said to them, "My brothers, although I had done nothing against our people or against the customs of our ancestors, I was arrested in Jerusalem and handed over to the Romans. They examined me and wanted to release me because I was not guilty of any crime deserving death. But when the Jews objected, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar, not that I had any charge to bring against my own people. For this reason, I have asked to see you and talk with you. It is because of the hope of Israel that I am bound with this chain." They replied, "We have not received any letters from Judea concerning you, and none of the brothers who have come here have reported or said anything bad about you. But we want to hear what your views are, for we know that people everywhere are talking against the sect." They arranged to meet Paul on a certain day and came in even larger numbers to the place where he was staying. From morning till evening, he explained and declared to them the kingdom of God and tried to convince them about Jesus from the law of Moses and from the prophets. Some were convinced by what he said, but others would not believe. They disagreed among themselves and began to leave after Paul had made this final statement. The Holy Spirit spoke the truth to your forefathers when he said through Isaiah the prophet, "Go to this people and say, you will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen." For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. Boldly and without hindrance, he preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. I am really sad to see this book ending. As I have told you many times, Acts is one of my favorite books, and I am challenged by this book so much, as Paul and others saw it as their main priority to preach with boldness the Lord Jesus Christ. It is also neat and challenging to see how diverse communities are coming together around the name of Jesus. And then finally, it is really instructive that they are constantly dependent upon the Spirit's work and power as the name of Jesus goes forward into the world. You know, we don't know what happened to Paul. There is tradition that says he was beheaded in Rome as a martyr, but we're not really sure. And I think that Acts is left a little bit open-ended because it doesn't want that to be the focus here. What Luke wants to be the focus, perhaps, is the last words. Boldly and without hindrance, he preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, let's move over now to the Psalms. Today we are reading Psalm 28. Of David. To you, Lord, I call. You are my rock. Do not turn a deaf ear to me. For if you remain silent, I will be like those who go down to the pit. Hear my cry for mercy as I call to you for help, as I lift up my hands toward your most holy place. Do not drag me away with the wicked, with those who do evil, who speak cordially with their neighbors, but harbor malice in their hearts. Repay them for their deeds and for their evil work. Repay them for what their hands have done, and bring back on them what they deserve. Because they have no regard for the deeds of the Lord and what his hands have done, he will tear them down and never build them up again. Praise be to the Lord, for he has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and he helps me. My heart leaps for joy, and with my song I praise him. The Lord is the strength of his people, a fortress of salvation for his anointed one. Save your people and bless your inheritance. Be their shepherd and carry them forever. And now let's turn over to the book of Nehemiah. Today we're finishing up this book and we're finishing up this series in our Project 119 readings. Tomorrow on the podcast and in book form, we will start our Advent devotionals on the book of Jeremiah, and they sure are a treat. I can't wait for you to see the book if you haven't already seen it. It is beautiful and so well planned out. And so different people on the ministerial staff will read their devotionals each day. And then at the end of Advent, we will circle back around to this daily rhythm of reading 3 passages of Scripture. Okay, Nehemiah chapter 13, beginning in verse 15. And as I'm reading, I want you to think about how the Israelites are transgressing the word of the Lord. In those days, I saw people in Judah treading wine presses on the Sabbath and bringing in grain and loading it on donkeys together with wine, grape, figs, and all other kinds of loads. And they were bringing all this into Jerusalem on the Sabbath. Therefore, I warned them against selling food on that day. People from Tyre who lived in Jerusalem were bringing in fish and all kinds of merchandise and selling them in Jerusalem on the Sabbath to the people of Judah. I rebuked the nobles of Judah and said to them, "What is this wicked thing you are doing, desecrating the Sabbath day? Didn't your ancestors do the same thing so that our God brought all this calamity on us and on this city? Now you are stirring up more wrath against Israel by desecrating the Sabbath." When evening shadows fell on the gates of Jerusalem before the Sabbath, I ordered the doors to be shut and not opened until the Sabbath was over. I stationed some of my own men at the gates so that no load could be brought in on the Sabbath day. Once or twice, the merchants and sellers of all kinds of goods spent the night outside Jerusalem. But I warned them and said, "Why do you spend the night by the wall? If you do this again, I will arrest you." From that time on, they no longer came on the Sabbath. Then I commanded the Levites to purify themselves and go and guard the gates in order to keep the Sabbath day holy. Remember me for this also, my God, and show mercy to me according to your great love. Moreover, in those days I saw men in Judah who had married women from Ashdod, Ammon, and Moab. Half of their children spoke the language of Ashdod, or the language of one of the other peoples, and did not know how to speak the language of Judah. I rebuked them and called curses down on them. I beat some of the men and pulled out their hair. I made them take an oath in God's name and said, "You are not to give your daughters in marriage to their sons, nor are you to take their daughters in marriage for your sons or for yourselves." Was it not because of marriages like this that Solomon, king of Israel, sinned? Among the many nations, there was no king like him. He was loved by his God, and God made him king over all Israel. But even he was led into sin by foreign women. Must we hear now that you too are doing all this terrible wickedness and are being unfaithful to our God by marrying foreign women? One of the sons of Jehoiada, son of Eliashib, the high priest, was son-in-law to Sanballat, the Horonite. And I drove him away from me. Remember them, my God, because they defiled the priestly office and the covenant of the priesthood and of the Levites. So I purified the priests and the Levites of everything foreign and assigned them duties, each to his own task. I also made provision for contributions of wood at designated times and for the first fruits. Remember me with favor, my God. And that is how the book of Nehemiah ends, with Nehemiah's desire that the Lord would remember him, and also with this idea that the people had not learned their lesson. Their heart had not been changed. Even though they went through much exile, their hearts had not been changed to follow the one true God. I think it's a warning for us to remind us that when we experience adversity, this is supposed to be something that will discipline us and not something that we forget as quickly as we re-enter a land of plenty. I also think that it should produce in us a longing to read further in the Old Testament, to more of the prophetic books where the prophets talk about a change of heart. A new covenant in Jeremiah, it speaks of a new covenant where a heart is changed by the Lord. And so we want to pray out this series and just ask the Lord to continue to work in our hearts and to give us heart, soul, mind, feet, hands, heads that serve him. Will you pray with me? Father, we offer our whole selves to you. We do not know how to do that well, but we ask, Lord, that you would continue to help us, gently disciplining us, gently prodding us along, gently reminding us of your word. We thank you for this Thanksgiving weekend. We thank you for the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us. And we ask as we enter into Advent that you would help us to have a longing for Christ's second coming and an awe at the fact that you came as a man, as a baby, to be our Savior. We love you and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.